Hey, welcome, Matt. It's great to have you with us today. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. I want to welcome you here in the West, over in the East venue, and those that are on our online stream right now. Great to have you with us as well. Let me just kind of remind us, if you're newer here today, let me just tell you that we're in a series. We're calling it Next Steps. Why is because we have next steps to get to know God. Once you come to know Jesus, there's different next steps that we see in Scripture that the early church did, and so that's what we're talking about. And if you are not a follower of God, you're exploring Christ, whether you're on our online stream or you're here in the building, we welcome you, man. We're so glad that you're here, because every week we have people here exploring Jesus, and today's your opportunity. And I want to tell you, you're sitting around a bunch of people that have done that before too. We've all kind of explored Christ to see if he's really real or not. And I'm going to tell you, you got a lot of people sitting around you that are praying for you that knows exactly where you are, because we've all been there. And so we're glad that you're here today. And for you, your next step is actually the very first step. It's salvation. And we're hoping that you'll understand today, and every time you show up here, that you'll hear something clear about Jesus, and that you'll come to realize that Jesus is who he says he is. Let me start off today, because we're going to talk about to tell your story, And to start off, I want to actually tell you a story. I've heard before that being a pastor's kid can be kind of difficult. I've heard that from my daughter, anyway. But I heard a story one time about a little boy, a younger boy, that his dad was a pastor. And at his home, you know, like little kids do, they'll go out and play in the dirt and all that kind of stuff. And so he would do that, and every time he'd come, his mom would say, "Wash your hands. You've been playing in the dirt. You need to get the germs off. Get the germs off. Wash your hands." She's always telling him when he comes like that. And one day he just had enough. And he says, "Germs in Jesus, germs in Jesus. I hear that all the time, but I've never seen either one of them." Now here's what I kind of think what he was saying. He's going, because I don't see something, I don't believe it. And that's the way that sometimes our society, our world, our culture is. If I haven't seen it or experienced it, I'm not sure that I believe it. In fact, let me just tell you, it's not just our world. Can I tell you, this is one of Jesus's disciples. In the Bible, it talks about Jesus when he did his 3-year earthly ministry. He had these 12 guys that he called disciples. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he appeared to the different disciples. But at one of the times, one of the guys wasn't there. His name was Thomas. And so all of a sudden, Thomas meets up with the other disciples, and they're going, "He's back, he's alive, he died, and he rose again. It's amazing, just like he said he would." And in John 20, verse 25, Thomas, one of the disciples, says to the other disciples, says this, Thomas said to the other disciples, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side," because remember, when he was on the cross, they did a sword right in here. "So unless I put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And he's a disciple. He's like, "I'm not going to believe unless I see it, unless I experience it." Do you know people like that? We have a world, we have people today that will say, "Unless I see it, unless I feel it, unless I hear it, I will not believe." And then you got the Apostle John. He comes along in 1 John 1:3, and he says this, "We proclaim to you what we have," listen, "seen and heard." Not something that somebody else saw or somebody else heard. We are telling you, we proclaim, we're telling you that we have seen and heard this amazing thing, so that you also may have fellowship with us. We saw Jesus come back to life. We heard him. We experienced it. It wasn't something that we heard third hand. We were there, and we want to tell you, this is amazing. This is crazy. Now listen, sometimes we have a world, we have a society that doesn't believe that. I mean, maybe you're here today and you're exploring Jesus. You're just, you know, you're just kind of exploring to see, you know, yeah, is he really who he is? Is he really the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah? Did he really die for my sins and so that I can have forgiveness and have a relationship with him now throughout this life and all eternity? Is that real? Is that real? You see, a lot of people just aren't sure because, you know, I wasn't there to see him come back to life. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. But can I tell you something? If you only had this story of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again, just like he said he would, can I tell you that's all you need? Because all the other parts of the Bible is not the crutch of Christianity. Jesus dying and Jesus rising again and proving that he is who he said he was is the crutch. You may have a struggle with some of the Bible. You may say things like, I don't know if I believe that Noah story. I mean, really, God taps him on the shoulder and says, hey, I want you to build this big ark with all the, you know, two of every animal in there. I mean, seriously, come on. That's got to be a myth. That's just got to be a story, right? I personally believe it because it's in Scripture. But you know what? If you don't believe that, that's not the crutch of the Bible. I don't know if I really believe that Adam and Eve thing. You know, where we all came from one man and one woman, and I just don't know if I really believe that. That is not the crutch of the Bible. The crutch of the Bible is Jesus is who he says he is? Did he die the way he said he would? Did he rise again like he said he would? Is he the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God? And if he is, and you come to believe that, and you come to acknowledge that he has to be the one and only Son of God. Because these guys that we're talking about, these disciples, history tells us that over the time, 10 of these 12 died a martyr's death. They had a sword put to their head, to their throat, to their and going, you recant what you said about Jesus, or we're going to run you through. And they all, individuals, said, we cannot recant because we know what we saw, we heard, and experienced. And they were willing to die a martyr's death. People don't die for a lie. The crutch is this: Jesus is who he says he is. Did he die and rise again? That's the whole crutch of Christianity. That's the whole crutch of the Bible. The first part of the Bible talks about God and sin and how we're all sin and we need a Savior. The New Testament is, boop, here's the Savior. And now what do we do with him? What are you going to do with him? Do you have a relationship with him? You see, a lot of times if you're a follower of Christ, a disciple, a Christian, a lot of times we look at our world and we just go, oh, our world is just going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, everything's just going wrong. And we look at this and we think, our world is not like Christianity. Our world doesn't like spirituality. But I disagree with you. The world may not be fond of Christianity, but I'm going to tell you, our world is looking for spirituality. Whether it's God, the Son of God, Jesus, or whether it's this table, or whether it's a tree. But people are looking for something spiritual, something to hold on, because so many people today are just drifting in life, drifting in their struggles, in their addictions, all the different things in their life. They're just drifting, and they're looking for an anchor somewhere to hold tight during the storm. And can I tell you, the only anchor is Jesus Christ. The only anchor is Jesus Christ. He says, no one comes to God the Father except through me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody can come except through me. You can't go through any other person. I am the only way. And there's the problem. Because some people like to think he's one of the ways. And he says, no, I am the only way. Whew. If he's the only way, and if you come to realize that Jesus is who he says he is, the only thing that's the right thing to do is to reorient everything in our life around the person of Jesus Christ, if he is who he says he is. And here we see Thomas going, unless I see it and put my hand on, I'm not going to believe. And John's going, I am telling you what we've seen and what we heard. We were there. And I'm willing to die for it. Amazing when you stop to think about it. You see, so many people just think that God's being rejected. But I believe, I believe people are looking for something spiritual. People are looking for an anchor. Some of you may be looking for an anchor today. Some of you are on our online stream. Some of you in our venues. You are here because you're like, I need help. I need something. My life is not going the way I want. And basically what you're saying is I'm looking for an anchor in the storm. And can I tell you, Jesus is that anchor. You can grab onto anything else, this table, a tree, but I'm going to tell you it's not going to be the same. Because everything else God created. That means that those things aren't God. God is the creator. He's the only anchor in the storm that you and I have. And so often when we talk about telling our stories, those of us who call ourselves Christians, disciples, followers of Jesus, we need to understand we have a story. And we need to share our story with other people. I remember hearing a story one time, not too long ago actually, as a lady that was on social media. And she put on social media this. She says, lost 50 pounds, selling my old clothes, good condition. People responded like crazy to her social media thing. And here's what they didn't say. They didn't say, well, what kind of clothes are there? What size are there? So that, you know what everybody was saying? How'd you lose 50 pounds? Right? They didn't care about her clothes. They want to know, tell me your story. How did you lose 50 pounds? Because maybe what you did will help me. And I want to lose 50. Tell me what you did. People are always wanting to hear stories. You know why? Because there's power in a story. There's power. Look at all the Disney movies, for crying out loud. I mean, everything is a story. It's all of it. And we love stories because there's power in the story. So, how do we help our friends to hear? How do we do this? How do we reach out to our friends? Let me give you two things for your notes. First thing is this. Two ways our friends know that Jesus works in our life. The first thing is this, if you're taking notes. They can hear our story. You want to try to help influence your friends, your family, your coworkers, your friends at school, whatever. They need to hear your story. And you have a story. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a story. And so many people don't even realize that they have a story at all. But I want you to stop and think about this. In fact, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to do something really stupid. Okay, here we go. I know this is probably the first thing I've ever done stupid anyway. But I'm going to take a minute, 1 minute. I'm going to give you 1 minute. And I want you during this 1 minute to ponder two things if you're a follower of Christ. Number one is why did you become a Christian? Second thing is, why do you think Jesus has made a difference in your life? If you call yourself a Christian, now if you are not a follower of God, you're not a Christian, you can just play on your phone for this minute. But I'm going to give you 1 minute, and I want you, and it's going to be silent. And why it's stupid is because whenever a pastor stops teaching or speaking, people's minds kind of wander. But I want you to focus your mind, your thought, on these two questions. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, why? Why are you a follower? Why did you become a Christian? And the second question I want you to think about is, why do you think Jesus has made a difference in you? Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, why? And if you are, there should be some difference in you. I'm going to give you 1 minute to think this through. And we're going to do this in all of our venues and even online. You can play along. And I would encourage you, as in the quiet time, you're just like writing down what comes to you. Why am I a Christian? Write it down. And then what difference does it make? Write that down. Write it down, put it in your phone, whatever, to remind yourself of this. Then I'll tell you what we're going to do with it afterwards. Here we go. I'm going to get ready. Hold on. 1 minute. Ready? Boop. Go. Okay. 1 minute. Some of you I know took it seriously. Some of you were kind of quiet, contemplating. That's great. Some of you were sitting down frantically writing, and that's great also. Can I tell you, this is something I would really encourage you to do once in a while. You know, in our society, in our world, we're always running, we're always going, we're always doing something. And we have so many distractions and noise all around us. And there's some times where we just need to take silence and just pause and just breathe and just stop and think about things. And this is one of the things I want you to think about. If you call yourself a Christian, why? And if you are a Christian, what's the difference in your life? See, this is basically your story. This is at least one of your stories. And let me tell you, telling people our story is amazing. It helps people to be able to hear our stories. Now, some stories are amazing and big, and some are like not as big, but that's okay because some people don't feel like theirs are big stories. But I tell you, I have heard stories that were simple that just seemed huge to me. Your story has power. Stories have power. Let me give you a story. This is a story from my life. I'm going to share with you as an example. And if you're a regular C3er, I know at some point in the past I've shared this story, but I'm going to share it again as an example here. Because one of the questions I get a lot, at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, I'll get this. Mark, why do you always end the services, the messages, with a salvation prayer? And if you're here today exploring Christ, I'm going to tell you, we're going to end the same way. We're going to give you an opportunity to know Jesus Christ at the end. We always do that. But I always get the question, why? Why, Mark, do you do it every single week? And some of you know the story because I've shared it if you're a regular C3er. But when I was going into high school, ninth grade, my parents bought a restaurant. It was a pizza and spaghetti house. And I worked there. And my good friend worked there all the way through high school. And my good friend, he was actually one of my best friends. We did a lot of stuff together, knew each other since elementary school, all this kind of stuff. But and he knew that I was a Christian. He knew I went to church. After college, I left to go off to, or excuse me, after high school, I went to go to college to become a pastor. He knew that. All the time growing up, he knew I went to church. I never told him about Jesus. Never invited him to church, never told him about Jesus. When I went to college, he knew I was going for a pastor, but he never heard from me anything about Jesus or why we need church, why we need God, all that kind of stuff. Never said a thing. A couple years into college, come home for the summer, and one night, get a phone call in the middle of the night that something happened at the restaurant. That they're sending a police over to our house. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on? So a few minutes later, a police officer shows up and tells us that as they were closing up the restaurant that night, three armed people came in and had my best friend, who was the night manager that night at that time, made him open up the safe and give them all the money. And then they took all the employees and my best friend and put them into a walk-in cooler, and my best friend was the last one to go in. And just as they put him in there, they shot him in the back and killed him. Then they shut the door and locked it so the rest of the people were in there with his dead body. And somehow they finally broke the lock a few hours later and called the cops, and then we got the call. And I remember when the cop came out and he said, and they killed Adam. That was his name. He killed Adam. And I had two kicks in the gut. One was knowing that he's dead. The second one is immediately came to my mind, I never shared Jesus with him. I never shared Jesus with him. I never told him I was a Christian. He knew I went to church. He knew I was going to become a pastor. I never told him. I never invited him. I never told him why he needed Jesus, anything. And to this day, from that time to today, this still haunts me. I don't know where he's at. I don't know if he's in heaven or he's far from God. I do not know. My hope, my prayer is that when I die and I get to the pearly gates and all of a sudden I'll see him standing right there and I'll have the biggest smile ever. That's what I'm hoping for. But I do not know where he went, and that haunts me. And I don't want that to haunt you as well. You see, we all have a story of some kind. Maybe it's not something like somebody getting killed or whatever, but because of that, that is why today and every other Sunday, we've always going to end with a salvation prayer, because you may be here for only one more time. You may be here, and when you get out of here, you're going to be hit by a bus, or Jesus is going to come, or maybe you're just going to never come back again. Maybe you just came as a first-time guest and said, I didn't like that church, I'll try another one. But I'm going to tell you, as long as you are here, even for one time, you will always hear a salvation prayer at the end of the service. Because I do not want you to go into eternity without God. You may still say no to God, but at least you're going to have the opportunity. You see, this is what haunts me till the day I die. Not knowing where he's at, and did I miss an opportunity? Some of you, and myself included, we have family, we have friends, we have coworkers that we like and know stuff, and they're still alive. That is why we need to make sure that we are reaching them, because I do not want you to feel what I feel. I don't want you to experience what I've experienced. I want you to not ever have that regret. Why didn't I tell them? And now it's too late, they're gone. See, this is my story, and I want you to understand it, because I don't want you to feel the way I do. And there's power in stories. And you have a story. I have a story. We all have a story. And you're like, well, I don't have a big fancy one like that, like a friend dying or something. But your story is your story. Doesn't matter. We're not rating. We're not trying to top each other. Your story is your story. We all have a story. And we need to share our story. But let me give you the second thing for people to know that we're Christians. If they can see Jesus in your life. Can they see Jesus in your life? And some of you are going, well, wait a minute. Okay, how do they know that Jesus works in my life if they can see him in my life? How do they see Jesus in my life? Great question. Glad you asked. Let me show you. Scripture tells us how we can let him know, how people know that we are followers of Jesus Christ. And it's here. It's in Galatians 5:22. And look what it says. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says in the last sentence, against such things there is no law. In other words, what they're saying is nobody has ever been arrested and thrown into prison because they had too much love. Nobody ever was arrested and thrown into prison because they were too gentle. Because all of these things are, there's no law against these things. This is what we want society to be. This is what God says, I want you to be. When you become a follower of mine, all of a sudden you should begin growing the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, all these different things. We should be growing these things. And if you're not, it might be a problem. Because see, people need to hear our stories, and then they need to see our lives. We need to make sure that what we're saying, we're actually living. But oftentimes, we say one thing, but we live the other. When people are looking at us and they're looking for answers, they want to know, is your Jesus real and why? And what has he done in your life? What's changed your life? And then that's why I gave you this 1 minute, because I want you to think about that. What has changed? What's different about you now than when you weren't a Christian? Now that you're a Christian, what is different about you? So often we don't know. Scripture says we should be having this fruit of the Spirit that Galatians 5 talks about. We should have the fruit of the Spirit. So let me just pick one. Let's just say joy. Do you have joy in your life? Do you have joy? Do you have peace that comes with that? Or do you say, yeah, I've got joy, the joy of the Lord in my life. Yeah, I'm a Christian. This is why. And I have the joy. This is showing what my difference is. I mean, that's what we think, right? But then people are going, well, you got joy? Huh. Because I thought you had complaining. Right? Right? I mean, let's be honest. How many of you, followers of Jesus Christ, would call yourself a Christian, how many of you would say, and be honest with yourself, and you can raise your hand, you on the online stream and the East venue as well, how many of you, since last Sunday to this Sunday, you complained about something, just something, okay? Okay, okay. The rest of you that didn't raise your hand, you're liars, that's fine. But here's the thing. We are to have this fruit of the Spirit. Doesn't mean we're always perfect. Let's be honest. We will still complain sometimes about certain things, right? We will complain. But sometimes, let's be honest, there are people, and I know it's not you, it's those people sitting next to you, right? But I know that there are some that will call themselves Christian that don't really have the fruit of the Spirit. They don't have joy, right? And instead of joy, they have complaining. And I'm going to tell you, they have a complaining down to an art, right? They think complaining is their spiritual gift. That is not a spiritual gift. It's not one of the fruit of the spirits. It's not any of those things. But somehow they think that it is. Now, let me give you an example. I remember at one of the churches that I served at before coming to C3, there was a guy there, that good guy. He kind of reminded me of a rose. Roses look pretty. And he did a lot of stuff in the church. He served in the youth. He served in missions and all this, and some other place. I can't remember where. But he it was a lot in the church. And so, he looked like a rose. He looked like just the perfect person to serve in the church, right? But remember, roses have stems with thorns on it. And he had thorns. Yes, he would be serving in the church, but he would always be complaining. He'd be complaining about the pastor. He'd be complaining about the music. He'd be complaining about the church, complaining about the church leadership. Why did the church do this? Why didn't they do that? On and on and on. And again, he looked good because he was serving, but he was prickly. He had thorns. And because of that, it was kind of like, ouch. And people didn't want to be around him because he was that way. He was just always kind of biting and stabbing you with those thorns. Is that you? Or is that somebody you know? Let's play the what if game. What if you gave permission to people that are closest to you, your family, your friends, your coworkers, people that see you all the time, and ask them, do you see me as joyful? Do you see me at peace? Or do you see me as angry? Do you see me as cantankerous, complaining? What if you were to ask them? First of all, they're going to think it's a trick, right? They're always going to get mad if I tell them the truth. But if you tell them, nothing bad's going to happen to you. I just want you to tell them, sometimes we think of ourselves one way, but those that are closest to us can actually see us the way we are. What if we were to ask people that question? This guy here, he probably didn't even realize he had all of these thorns. Do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? You see, this is something we need to understand. Let me give you something for your notes. Joy isn't a byproduct of life. It's a choice of life. It's a choice that you and I make in life. It's not a byproduct. Joy is a choice that you and I make. Have you made that decision? Is that what you want to do? Do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to follow God? Do you want to have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, all these things? Do you want those things? This is what God does. This is why I'm a Christian, and this is what's made me different from when I wasn't and now I am. This is what God has done in my life. Let me give you a verse. 1 John 1:7 says this, "If we walk in the light, as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us." Now listen to this. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from what? Say it with me. All sin. Now, here's the thing. What does the word all mean? All. That's right. That's right. It means that he'll purify us when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He will purify us from all sin. Not half, not three quarters, not 99.9, 100%. He will clean us up. Now, we're always constantly getting dirty, and he continues to clean up. He will forgive you of your sins. He will come into relationship with you. He will want you to come into relationship with him. This is the promise. And this is one of the things we can tell people. Here's my story, and here is what he's done to me. I came into relationship, and he's forgiven me of everything. And your good friends go, "Everything? I know some of the things you did." Yeah, I know. I know them, you know them, God knows them. But I'm telling you, God's forgiven me. And you remember, you and I did a few things together, right? God can forgive you too. If he can forgive me, he can forgive you. We need to let people hear our story. We need to tell the story. We need to show by our life that we are now different. This is where we got to be. That's why I love C3. Because we have so many people here at C3 that exude this. I mean, you are like, you're just telling people your story all the time here in the church and outside the church. You're inviting people. You're bringing people. You're showing the difference in your life out in the community. And I'm so thankful for that. And I love those that are actually doing those things. But let me begin to wrap up. And I'm going to give you kind of a thought with this one. And First John 1:3 says this: we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship, listen, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this was the disciples that were talking this. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so you can have fellowship with us and with God. But can I tell you, you and I, we're not there to see it. But since then, we've experienced it. Many of you have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and your life has been changed. And what we're now to do is we are to tell and show, so that those people that you know, that you care about, that you don't want to spend eternity away from God, when you share your story and you show it through your life, all of a sudden they come into relationship with you and relationship with God. Whew. Amazing. You see, sometimes we think we're just on this planet once we get saved so that we can, you know, work, have kids, earn money, pay bills. And God's going, that's just a byproduct of life. I have you on this planet with breath in your body for a purpose and for a reason. And it is to do what we're talking about right now. To be on mission with what God's mission is about. To reach people that are far from God. To help them to know him. And you know people that if they were to die today or Jesus were to come back, they would spend eternity away from you. Some of them are family members. Some of them are friends. Some are coworkers. Some are friends of school. And God is saying, you are on mission. If you're a Christian, you're on mission with me. And how do you be on mission? One of the best ways, listen, is tell your story. Tell your story why you became a Christian. Tell your story what your life is like since you've been a Christian. And it doesn't have to be a big fancy story. Just be honest and tell the story, because oftentimes your story will resonate with them. That's why they're asking, or that's why they need to hear it, or that's why you feel like they need to hear it. It's because, you know, it resonates. Share your story. In fact, let me show you a place where you can do that. On our website, C3 website, you can tell your story at c3tricities.com, our website, /my story. You go there, and there's three different ways that you can give your story. There's three different stories. I'm going to have it put them on the screen up here. Here's what it is. Everyone has a story. Are you ready to share yours? And there's three different ways. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. The first one is when you first came in a relationship with Jesus. Where were you at before? Why did you get saved? And then what's your life since you've been saved? That's basically what we're saying. The other one is like a restart. Maybe you had a relationship with God, but you kind of wandered away. Okay, you know, we're called sheep. Sheeps are stupid, no offense. But sheep are stupid. They kind of wander off. Oh, look, something shiny. I mean, we do that, right? And maybe you wandered away from God. This is saying, okay, why did you wander away from God? What happened? How did you come back? What's your life like now? That's basically what that one is. Third one is a victory story. What is something you struggled with? Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a marriage issue, whatever. And you just say, here is where I was during this struggle. Here's where God helped. And here's what my life is like now. Now, I'm going to tell you, it may not always be pretty. Because here's the thing. It may be like, okay, I had a bad marriage. We ended up divorcing. But that doesn't sound like a good story. But here's how God's helped me. Here is God has helped me through this struggle. It didn't end the way I wanted, but I know that God is still here. See, these are three, just each of these three only have three questions each. You can go on our website and you can just simply type in the answer to each of those three questions for whichever one you want to do. But let's be honest. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, most of us, we all have one of those stories, but we probably have maybe two or three. We can probably do all three of those. I'd encourage you to go on there because a couple reasons. One is, when you do this, it'll let us here at C3 at the church to hear your story. We want to hear your story. You can either type it in, or there's a place where you can film it with your phone and upload it on that page. If you don't want to type it in, just film yourself and just upload it, whichever way you want to do. So that's one reason, just to let us know about your story. The second reason why I'm encouraging you to do it is because when you do this, this helps you to kind of put it in order so that when you're telling your story to somebody, you're not just going on tangent here and tangent there and you're going for 20 or 30 minutes. You're just making it succinct and strong to the point. So this will help you to get it organized for when you tell your story. And can I tell you, so many of you have stories that are powerful that you don't think they are, but God is going, you've got a story. Part of your story is my story, God's story. And I want you to share your part of the story of my story to help other people to come into the story of God. That's why we're here. Not this church, but us personally. That's why we are here on this planet, to be part of God's story and to help other people to find that story. Let's pray. So, Father, as we wrap up our time together today, Lord, I know that for some, this is kind of a hard thing to talk about. Some of us think, oh, we don't have a story. We don't have a big fancy story like maybe Mark shared. But God, we're not trying to top each other. We just need to know and realize we have a story. And so, Father, would you help us to actually think over our story? Would you help us to share our story? Lord, it's great to invite people to church, but that does not take the place of inviting people to Jesus. So, Lord, sometimes we have to share our story to people away from this church, to other people that don't know you. So, Lord, would you help us to not listen to the enemy who gives us fear, that says, oh, if you tell your story, they're going to think you're stupid or weird. But, Lord, may we hear your voice where you're cheering us on and say, do it. Tell them about me. Tell them about what the difference I've made in your life. And, Father, I pray right now that you'd help us to organize and think about the stories that we have that we can share with other people. Lord, I pray right now in the sound of my voice that there is nobody that's hearing me right now that would have the same thing that I have, regret about my friend Adam dying and never telling him about it. It's too late for me to tell Adam. Lord, I pray that everyone in the sound of my voice as a follower of Jesus Christ, that they would share their story with people that they love, that they want to know Jesus. I pray that you give them courage and pray that you'd help them to do the right thing. Lord, I thank you for the stories that we are going to hear, the stories that are going to be impacting other people, and we celebrate that. And Father, at the same time, another thing we celebrate is people coming to know you. And today we pause as we do every Sunday and we look inside and we examine ourselves. And many saying, yes, I do have a relationship with Jesus, but there are some right now today online or in any of the venues that are saying, I don't know God. I'm too bad. He can't forgive me. But God, today, I want them to hear that you can forgive anything. You know everything they've done. You know the sin and all their problems. And Lord, today you are offering forgiveness to them and a relationship. So there are some right now that are bowing their heart. And they're saying yes to you. They're asking for your forgiveness of all, even the horrible things that they're asking for forgiveness, and you are freely doing that because you died for them and you rose again, proving you are the Son of God and you're the Messiah and that you can forgive their sins. And so, Father, now they don't have to pay for all eternity for their sins because you already have, and they've accepted your forgiveness and they're coming into relationship with you. May they now just feel your arms wrapping around them and basically saying, welcome home. And we say thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.